Good afternoon to both the Otlatnie Association and to the Gathering of the Saints. I am thankful for the opportunity and the privilege to come and be with you today. I did not know until last night that I would be able to come today, but I'm thankful that I am. The boss is away over in Columbus covering the state softball playoffs, so I got out while the getting was good. He does know where I'm at, so I didn't just play with him. But anyway, just pray that nothing happens while I'm away until I can get back. So I work for the newspaper there, so some of us have to be on call all the time. A couple of points of personal privilege, if I might, before we get started. First of all, thank you all for singing that hymn. That hymn has been very special to me through the years. Brother Mike, Brother Josh sang that at my ordination service in 2014. And the words there are very powerful, and I think they'll go along with what the Lord has laid on my heart this afternoon. The other thing I want to mention, prayer request, I mentioned this at the Brushy Creek Union, and I also want to mention it this afternoon, ask you to please be in prayer for Elder William Bishop. Brother William was a former pastor of mine. He baptized me. And he is in very rapid decline now. He's in the community hospice facility at Vidalia. There is some talk that he may be moved either to his son Perry's home in Swainsboro or to a nursing facility there in Swainsboro. But I had the opportunity to visit with him on Wednesday of this week. We had a good visit together. It was very emotional, as you might imagine. But he was looking forward and not back. But that did my heart good. Thank you for attention to that. Now we'll turn to the serious and weighty matters of what we came here after today. I greet all of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I would hope that something that's said and done this afternoon might be pleasing to the Lord, and He might bless our coming together as we try to worship Him in spirit and truth. Felt the spirit and the presence of the Lord here this day. And I pray that that will continue throughout the meeting. Those of you who know me know that one of my favorite passages of Scripture, you probably, if you've known me for any length of time, know that I love the account of the exodus of God's children from Egypt to the Promised Land. And the Lord willing, that's where I want to be this afternoon. It is an account in the Scriptures that I have always loved. It is a story of good over evil, a story of triumph against overwhelming and seemingly insurmountable odds. And most of all, brothers and sisters, it is a love story. It's a story of God's love for the children of Israel and for all of His children everywhere, even right down till today. And the title of my sermon, if I should have one, comes from words that are contained in the passage that we're going to use this afternoon, and it is, "The Lord shall fight for you." The Lord shall fight for you. I want to go to Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, and the Word of God reads like this. It says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will shew to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Brothers and sisters, if correctly read, that is Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His holy word. Let us seek Him before the throne of grace. Most kind and most merciful Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the privilege to come before Your throne of grace once again. We thank You, Lord, for all of the proceedings of this day. We thank You for all the blessings of this day, for the liberty and for Your Spirit that is in this sanctuary, in this meeting house today. Lord, we ask You to be with us now as we try to speak the unsearchable riches of Your amazing grace. Lord, help us as we consider this afternoon that You will indeed fight for us.
that we are to stand still, we are to fear not, and we are to see your salvation. Lord, we thank you for it. Bethel Church, we thank you for each member who makes her up. We thank you for her pastor. Lord, we ask you, on behalf of the condition of Zion, that you might bless us, Lord, that you might stir your church, that there might be a revival, that you might prop us up on our leaning side. Help us to be found faithful and not faint. Lord, we ask you to forgive us of those crimes and offenses we commit against thee. Look down upon us with mercy and with pity and with compassion, with your amazing grace. And Lord, please don't give us the justice that we deserve. We ask you, Lord, to go with us through this service, on through the further journeys of the day. Choose all our changes for us and love us freely for Christ's sake. All these blessings and favors we humbly beg in the lovely name of Jesus, and it is in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All of us, I suppose, are familiar with this account, but I will just go back and review them shortly. If you remember, the children of Israel, as already been mentioned earlier, have been in bondage in Egypt for some 400 years. And the Lord has heard the cries of his people who have been toiling under the weight of a hard and cruel taskmaster, the Pharaoh of Egypt. And the Lord has raised them up, a leader by the name of Moses. And Moses has been in to see the Pharaoh. There's been a series of 10 plagues, each one more terrible than the one before. And the final one, the death of the firstborn, finally persuades the Pharaoh to let the children of Israel go, to let God's children go. Or so it seems. But then Pharaoh had a change of heart again. And he decides that, no, maybe he likes having this nation of servants to serve him. And so he sets off, and his army decides that they like having these servants and these slaves to do their work and be at their beck and call. So Pharaoh and his army take off to pursue the children of Israel. And that's where we catch up with them in today's scripture lesson. The children of Israel are full of fear. They look back behind them and they see the Egyptian army pursuing them. They look ahead of them and they see a sea in front of them. There seems to be no way of escape. They can't fly. They can't go around. They don't have any boats. They can't go to the right. They can't go to the left. There is no turning back. It is enslavement or certain death. There's no way across. There's no way of escape. They are fearful. If you note there, the Lord says, fear not. I mentioned this in one of the earlier sermons this week. You know, I think there's a reason that the Scriptures say often, fear not, fear not, fear not. It's because we as people are scaredy cats. Put yourself in their shoes. I think fear would descend upon you. They look up. That's the only thing they can do. God had heard their cries. But make no mistake about it, they had also made a mess of things too. Just a few verses up there, they murmured and complained to Moses. Here it is, they've seen all of these things that have happened now, all of the things with the plagues that affected all of the Egyptians but never affected them. They had seen the plague of the firstborn, where all of the firstborn things, families and animals and everything, died in Egypt. But the Lord had instructed them, you know, if you take the blood and you strike it over the post of the door, he says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you in judgment. They had witnessed all of that. And yet here they are, a little bit above there, they're saying, were there not graves in Egypt? You just brought us out here to die. We were safe in Egypt working as slaves. They're miserable. They're in a tight spot, aren't they? And we think we have problems. Their case seems hopeless. Their plight is a predicament. But Moses, the leader of Israel, speaks words of faith and encouragement to the people that God had given to him. He says, "Fear not. Stand still and see the what? The salvation of the Lord." Are they going to have to wait for it? No. He says, "You're going to see it today." He says, "You're going to look back," and he says, "Those Egyptians that are pursuing you, you're going to see them no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you." And brothers and sisters, when we have the Lord on our side, who else do we need? What happened next? Well, it reminds me of a funny little story that I heard. You probably have heard it too, but I'll just share it with you. About a little boy who was in Bible study at church, and they were teaching this lesson. And so when he got home, his mother, she had been in the adult class, you know, so she asked him, she said, "Well, son, what did you learn in Bible study today?" And he took a little poetic license, and he said, "Well, Mama," he said, "we learned that Moses and the children of Israel got to the Red Sea, and they were trapped, and there was no way of escape." And he said, he related that Pharaoh had the children of Israel right where he wanted them, and he was about to take them back into slavery. He was about to recapture them, and he says, "All of a sudden," he says, "Moses called in air support, and a fleet of Air Force jets came in to bomb the Egyptians." And he said, "Then Moses called for the Navy, and he said they had ships that were able to evacuate the children of Israel to the other side, and then the forces of Israel were successful and declared a victory." And the mother looked at him, and she furrowed her brow, and she said, "Now, son," she said, "that's not what you were taught, is it?" And pleadingly and innocently, he looked up and he told his mother, he said, "Mama, if I told you the way that teacher told us, you'd never believe me." And brothers and sisters, isn't that the point? That's what's miraculous about it. It's unbelievable. It's indescribable. It's a miracle. God saved them. They were able to see the salvation of the Lord. The truth in this instance makes for an unbelievable story. It's incredible. It is a miracle performed by Almighty God Himself that saved them. We, of course, know the real version, not what the little boy was told or what he related. The real version, what actually happened, as God commanded Moses to hold out his rod over the seas, and the waters parted, and the children of Israel crossed over on dry land. There were, and I want you to note that, we're going to come back to that in a minute, they passed over on dry land. There were walls of water on either side of them. And they got across safely to the other side, and the Egyptians and Pharaoh said, they can do that, we can do it too. They were determined to recapture their slaves, so they took off and went in to pursue them. But the Lord took care of that. The children of Israel reached safely to the other shore. And when they did, the Lord told Moses to stretch forth his hand, stretch forth the rod back over the sea. And when he did so, the waters came crashing down on all of the Egyptians, on the Pharaoh and his entire army, and drowned them all. It's a miracle, brothers. It's a miracle that even people of faith sometimes have trouble accepting. And I say that because I know in my own experience that it's true. My uncle was a student at Mercer back some 20 years ago or so, and he had a professor there that taught this account and explained it away. And it wasn't really the sea. It was just a marshy place. And there were the climate there were these circumstances, there was these effects in climate. Sometimes it would cause, the wind would dry out certain areas, and that was how the children of Israel got across. That's a lie. The scriptures tell it correctly. Yeah. Elder John Shelton Michael of sainted memory, once he told it in that manner, you know, about those intellectuals that try to explain it away. He told about a similar revisionist who said that the parting of the Red Sea was really not all that miraculous, that it was something similar to what I just described, what the professor at Mercer said. And he said that one of the preachers that was there got up and stood up and said, "Praise the Lord! Amen! And hallelujah! God be praised!" And the fellow called him down and he said, "Did you not understand what I just said? I just told you that this is not all that miraculous." And Brother John Shelton said that the other guy said, "Well, no." He said, what you don't understand is the weight of the miracle that you just described." Because he said, "According to your account, God Almighty has drowned the whole Egyptian army in less than 6 inches of water." No, the truth is, the children of Israel went through on dry ground. That's the truth. And there was water on either side. And the army was pursuing them. And when they got safely over, Moses, as he was commanded by God, stretched forth and the waters came back and destroyed Pharaoh and his army. That's the truth.
Amen.
The Lord shall fight for you.
Yeah.
So how do we apply this lesson to us individually and to God's church collectively? The Lord shall fight for you. Fear not, brothers and sisters. Fear not, just as he told the children of Israel then. Fear not. As I mentioned already, the Lord tells us over and over again in his word to fear not, fear not, fear not. It must be important that we're to have faith and not to fear. We're to overcome our fears with faith. And as it's already been mentioned here this morning, that faith is not from you. It's a gift to you. Even when we cannot get out of or away from or escape from our sorrows and our troubles and those things that cause us to fear, we still are to utilize our faith to get above it. We need to look up to see where our deliverance comes from. I have this plaque hanging up in my study, and it's a little bird sitting on a fence post, singing his heart out in the first blushes of the dawn. And the inscription underneath it says, and this has always been like a capsule sermon to me, the inscription underneath says, "Faith is the bird that sings when the dawn is still dark." He sings like he knows it's going to happen, but he doesn't know that. That's the way we as Christians should be too. The Lord will fight for us. So we don't need to fear. We need to have faith. But we also need to stand still. The meaning of stand still in this situation is that we are to do just that. We're to stand still. I mentioned this earlier in the week. You know, many times when we come to these kinds of situations in our lives about what to do, we tend to think of the answers being, "Don't just stand there and do something." When the actual thing is, don't just do something, stand there. Stand there and be still. We're to wait for the Lord's leading. We're to wait for God's guidance. We're to wait for God's command. Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You hear that misguided directive in salvation sometimes that you've got to do something. No, you're passive in it. Stand still. Other persuasions will teach you that. If you'll only do this, if you'll only do that, if you'll do ABC, 1, 2, 3, say a sinner's prayer, do the hokey pokey and turn yourself around, that you'll be saved. No, it's not from you. It's the gift of God. Salvation that's found in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord told them to stand still and see His salvation. They did. They awaited God's orders. Again, put yourself in their shoes. Would that be easy? Would that be easy knowing what they were facing? Seeing what was behind them, pursuing them? Knowing that there was no obvious means of escape? My grandmother used to use that in some of the big decisions that I've had in my life. She would say, "Son, just have faith. The Lord will work it all out." And you know what, brothers and sisters, looking back on it, God did. He worked it all out. But I will confess to you that sometimes it didn't feel real good when you were in the middle of it. But God is faithful. The Lord will fight for you. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Fear not and stand still. And then there it says, and see the salvation of the Lord. We also need to, seeing is believing, isn't it? The children of Israel saw a great miracle, didn't they? They witnessed a great miracle. The Lord saved them. The Lord allowed them to see His salvation. The Lord did a great thing for them. The Lord did something for them that they could not do for themselves. And isn't that the way it is for us as the children of grace? The Lord did that for us when He saved us by His amazing grace. Not because of anything we did, not because of any merit in us at all, not because He looked down in time. That's the way some of them explain it away, you know, that He looked down in time and He saw who was going to be good and who was not, who was going to accept Him and who was not. That's a lie too. No, it's grace plus nothing else. Because you see, brothers and sisters, there is no other adjective to describe grace other than amazing. Because it is. We need to see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will fight for us. I do this all the time when I'm reading through there. I think too many times we're too hard on the children of Israel. I look at this account and I say, the Lord had allowed the plagues, but they were not affected. The Lord had passed over them with the death of the firstborn, but they were not affected. The Israelites had been spared. The Lord had led them out and had led them to where they were. And His presence was manifest. They had seen examples. I mean, physical examples that they could see and they could experience of God's presence with them. And yet they doubted. I look at this and I read this account and I think, what's wrong with them people? And then I'm convicted. Because I'm just like they are. How many times have I said, it's impossible? How many times have I had fear, not faith? How many times have I tried to do things on my own merit, make my own decisions, fix my own problems? Fear not. Stand still and see. The Lord will fight for us. The Lord will take care of it for us. The Lord will provide us with victory over our foes and over our fears. And most importantly, the Lord will save us. Fear not. Stand still and see. The Lord will fight for you. And may the Lord add His blessings to these few remarks as my prayer.